It can be found on page 1797 in your pew Bibles. It is Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, chapter 4, verses 1 through 15. Therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. Rather, we have renounced secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For what we preach is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may also be revealed in our mortal body. So then death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. It is written, "I believed, therefore I have spoken." Since we have the same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you to himself. All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray together. Almighty God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. When my cousin was about 5 years old, it was the first time that I remember him opening Christmas presents. It was Christmas Eve. We were gathered at my uncle's house, and it was our tradition that the kids who were youngest got to open their gifts first. And he, at the age of 5, was the youngest who was able to really open gifts on his own. So he chose his first gift, wrapped box, looked like a clothing box. You can imagine, like from Yonkers, JCPenney, something like this. And he begins to unwrap the box feverishly, excitedly. When he takes the paper off, he lifts it up and he says, "Hooray, a box!" He tosses it aside and goes and grabs the next gift. To which we stopped him and we said, "Joe, no, you've got to go and you have to actually open the box to see what's inside of it." And he did. He opened the box and he saw that it was clothes, and thoroughly disappointed, he set it aside and went to grab the next box, which was surely going to be more exciting than that. It's an image that sticks out in my mind as I read Paul's letter to the Corinthians, where he says that the good news of Jesus Christ is like treasure that has been put into jars of clay. Now, I'm not sure about you and where you stick the things that you treasure the most. Maybe that's something you want to think about right now. Think about the thing that you treasure most in all the world, the one possession that you would not want to have anything happen to. Perhaps it's a baseball card. I know for me, in my house back in Sioux City, Iowa, where I grew up, I have a Daryl Strawberry rookie card, okay? which back when I actually had the card in my possession was actually probably worth something, whereas it might not be anymore. But being a Mets fan, I was a big Daryl Strawberry fan, and so I have Daryl Strawberry's rookie card. And that card is encased in glass with screws to hold it in place. And it's stuck in a shoebox, and it's tucked away in the back of a closet, okay? Nothing is going to happen to this card. That glass is going to protect it, and it's going to stay in mint condition, even though it's probably not worth all that much today. If it had been, it would be worth a lot more because it is encased in this glass case. So think about what that possession is for you. Where do you store your valued possessions? Maybe you have a safe deposit box at the bank, or perhaps you have a safe in your house where perhaps your jewelry is locked up and it's bolted to the floor and it's waterproof and it's fireproof and it's burglar-proof, so nothing is going to happen to this, right? Conventional wisdom says that we put the things that matter most to us in safe places that are akin to that which is inside of them. You wouldn't take a handful of quarters and stick them into a safe deposit box so no one could touch them. But you put the things that are very important, very valuable, in important and valuable spaces. Which is what makes what Paul is saying so confusing. He's saying that rather than locking these up in expensive boxes, this treasure of the gospel of Jesus Christ is in jars of clay. Okay? Now, you can maybe picture one of these jars, what it might look like. Say about this tall, round, picture Dead Sea Scrolls were found in the back of some cave outside of the Dead Sea, right? Jar of clay. Now, what happens to that over time? It deteriorates. It becomes brittle. If you were to even look at it funny, it might crack and fall apart and break, right? Certainly isn't something that's meant to preserve that treasure forever. So why is it that Paul says that the treasure of God is placed into these clay jars? Why would God entrust that which is most important? Entrust something which is that important into something that is so breakable and vulnerable and mortal? Well, as you might be able to guess from the context of this one verse that we've chosen to single out today, these jars of clay are us, our bodies, okay? But in our society, we tend to value the jar much more than what is inside. If we think about bookstores that we might go to or TV commercials that we might see or radio commercials that we might hear, it's all about how to improve ourselves, how to get ourselves a better job, how to make ourselves more wealthy or more successful, how to make us look better, how to make us feel better, how to lose weight, how to be better parents to our kids, or more likely, how to make our kids behave for every little whim that we might subject them to, right? We're familiar with this. This is a healthy part of our society. When we go to the bookstore, the self-help section is often second to the non-fiction section. The fiction section is the biggest in the store. It's all about how to make your life better. And that's what our society seems to be obsessed with these days, is how to make that clay jar look better. But God says through the words of the Apostle Paul that that conventional wisdom of our society is to be set aside, because what is really important in our lives is this treasure that God has placed there in our hearts and in our minds, this treasure of the good news of Jesus Christ. That's why in this passage, Paul is writing about death. Paul is writing about being persecuted, about being subjected to pain and hardship because of what is contained in this vessel. Our society is all about escaping from pain, but what Paul is writing about is submitting to this pain willingly, taking on weakness for ourselves rather than projecting this image of strength. I think about stories of people who live in million-dollar houses who have lawn furniture in their houses because they're trying to project an image of power, and they have weakness on the inside. Instead, Paul flips that on its head and says, instead, we as the people of God are to project our weakness out into the world so that anything that we do can be attributed to the power of God inside of us. And so Paul says, we have this treasure in clay jars. It falls apart. It breaks. It crumbles. It falls away. But that is to show the power of God in our lives, the power of God in our world. So, what are we to do with this good news that we have? Well, Paul reminds us that this has been given to us. It's been placed into our hearts. So we are reminded that we did nothing to procure it for ourselves. Interesting. We usually think that the things that we have, we procure for ourselves. We earn them, or we deserve them. Someone gave them to us because we were deserving. Paul points out that God places this treasure in our lives because we are undeserving. God chooses the least. God chooses the last in order to make this power known to our world. And so the first thing for us to do today is to look deep inside of ourselves for that treasure that God has placed there. This good news that Jesus Christ, God, became flesh for us, was sent into the world not as some powerful king, but as a baby born in a stable, laid in a manger. That he grew up the son of a carpenter, not the son of a king. That he grew up in this humble and low estate, went to Jerusalem, was crucified as a political prisoner, a traitor to Rome, committed of a crime he did not commit in any way other than proclaiming that God is God and not the king. And that Jesus was raised again on the third day. And when that happened, death was destroyed for good. The pain of death destroyed, taken away. The sting of death no longer present. And instead, for those who put their faith and trust in God, who put their trust in Jesus as Savior and Lord, they have been raised to new life and salvation, free from their sins, cut off from their past lives, to go forth into the world as new and redeemed people, to proclaim this good news of what God has done for them in everything that they say and everything that they do. in word and deed, being committed to being disciples of Jesus Christ. In good times and in bad. Are there any Mets fans in the congregation today? You know what it means to be faithful to something through good times and bad, right? More bad times than good lately. And for those of you who are Yankees fans, I'm sure there's a place in heaven for you as well. But God reminds us, through the Apostle Paul's words today, that all of this was done on our behalf, not so that we could boast about how great we are, but instead that we could proclaim how great God is, using us in our broken little selves, in our broken little lives, to go on to do things greater than could possibly be accomplished through ourselves alone. And when we gather together as a community of faith, that effect is amplified tenfold, 100-fold, 1,000-fold as we gather together using the gifts that God has given us, amplifying this treasure out into our community so our friends and our neighbors will know who we are and whose we are. Through our weakness, Christ makes us strong, and Christ works on our behalf in the world. We are promised this resurrection. We're promised to be raised to new life in Jesus. But in order to be raised, we must first die. We must die to ourselves. We must die to our own selfish ambitions and worldly desires, casting them off and taking hold of this promise of new life through Jesus. Jesus told his disciples, in order for you to gain your life, you must first lose it. But all those who lose their lives for me will gain this new life. And so we have these treasures in jars of clay, broken, weak, mortal, so that God might be glorified in all that we do and say together as a church, when we're gathered here on Sunday mornings, and when we are sent out into the world the other 6 days of the week, in our homes, in our businesses, in our schools, where we go shopping, where we go running, the tables we sit around to drink coffee with one another. It is in these places where the Spirit of God gets magnified in our world. So my prayer for us today as the Abundant Life Reformed Church is that this life that we have in abundance would exude out of us in everything we say and everything we do, that we might commit ourselves to being faithful disciples of Jesus Christ, that we might die to our own selfish desires, worldly wishes, and grasp on to this promise that we have through Christ Jesus our Lord. Let's bow our heads together in prayer. Almighty God, we are tempted to celebrate the box and not the treasure hidden inside. Lord, help us to understand this treasure that you have given to us, that we might share it with others. Give us the courage to be countercultural, to cast aside all of this that the society has placed on us, and instead to follow you in all that we say, all that we do. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.